You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, well, to speak for yourself, I am Jason Whitlock. That is Greg Jennings sitting in for that dude, Marcellus Wiley. All right, today coming up, we'll tell you if Aaron Rodgers is already having problems with his new coach. But we start today with Russell Wilson. If you know the story of the genius Wall Street investor Michael Burry, there's been a book and movie made about him called The Big Short, then perhaps you recognize what Russell Wilson is doing. I don't believe Russell Wilson is restless in Seattle or secretly longing to move his wife, Sierra, to New York. It's easy to misread Wilson's latest negotiating ploy as yet another sign that football's Jay and Bay are plotting an escape to the Big Apple. Yesterday, the Seattle Times reported that Wilson has given the Seahawks an April 15th deadline to negotiate a contract extension. Informed NFL reporters say it's unlikely that Seattle general manager John Schneider will be able to meet that deadline. The Seahawks generally prioritize contracts like Wilson's after the NFL draft. Wilson's last extension was agreed upon on the day before the opening of training camp. This deadline seems arbitrary and is unprecedented. Why now? What's its purpose? Two words explain this move. Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs quarterback is a disruptor. With his 50 TD MVP season, Mahomes upset the quarterback market. He leapfrogged Wilson as the likely heir to Tom Brady's throne as the most important quarterback in the league. And Mahomes likely leapfrogged Aaron Rodgers as the most expensive player in the league. In my opinion, Wilson no longer wants to sign an extension this offseason when he and Dak Prescott are expected to sign the most lucrative deals. Wilson wants to wait until next offseason when Mahomes is expected to set the market on its head by signing a $200 million deal. Yep, ESPN's Adam Schefter kicked off the Mahomes speculation in January, predicting that the Chiefs would give Mahomes an extension that dwarfs Aaron Rodgers' $134 million deal. Schefter tossed out the $200 number. It would be foolish for Wilson to cut a deal a year before Mahomes reshapes the quarterback Dow Jones. It's wiser to set an unrealistic deadline, sit back and let Seattle fail to meet it, and then announce you'd rather focus on the season rather than worry about the distraction of contract negotiations. Hell, the Seahawks might even agree with this strategy. Given Wilson's track record with jealous defensive teammates, why give him a market-shattering deal and risk dissension and envy invading the locker room? Plus, if I'm Wilson, I'm willing to bet on myself this season. Last year, he established career highs in touchdowns and passer rating, playing in the most conservative run-heavy offense west of Baltimore. If Seattle makes modest improvements to its offensive personnel, Wilson could be a strong MVP candidate this upcoming season. Meanwhile, Mahomes will be taking his second lap around the NFL, and he might have to do part or all of it without the services of blazing wide receiver Tyreek Hill, who's under police investigation for child abuse. Russell Wilson is a blue chip stock that smart analysts believe hasn't reached its peak value. He's shorting Mahomes and delaying taking his own stock public until the market settles. Russell Wilson is the big short. All right, joining the desk now, Fox Sports analyst Reggie Bush. Greg, I'll start with you. Is Russell Wilson, would he be foolish to do an extension this offseason?
With what you pointed out,
I was interested to see where you were going to go with that, Whitlock. I agree with you, though. I do agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly because when you – but let me say this. A year ago, this time, I would not have agreed because the quarterback rules were what they were. But now with the quarterback rules being what they are to protect the quarterback – it's not as great of a risk for him to wait.
Physically, yeah.
Physically. Like, he's not – most players would – most people or players would say, well, I'm not going to take that risk. Well, he can take that risk because at his position, they have started to protect them. And then he can protect himself even more by getting rid of the ball. So, I do like it. I think he's a cornerstone to the Seattle Seahawks. He understands his value. There is no pressure on Russell Wilson to sign a contract right now within his camp for the Seattle Seahawks. He's going to get paid. If this were a different position, then maybe you need to just take your money and keep moving. But, yes, allow Patrick Mahomes to set the bar. You're not going to get what Patrick Mahomes is going to get.
He might.
He's not going to get that.
He might get it. Why wouldn't he get that? Patrick Mahomes had one good season. That's it. We're talking about Russell Wilson, who has put in 8 years of body of work.
What check mark did you mark on my notes?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
How many good seasons has he had?
None.
Okay, my point. So it don't matter. It don't matter that he had one good season. Well, I should say it does matter that he had the one good season. Mm-hmm. And he's the MVP. Like, so he's going to set the precedent, and why not wait and then try to get as close to that as possible?
He is the MVP, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl. He's been to two Super Bowls, right? And so I love seeing players use their leverage because, you know, we don't get a chance to do that. Mm-hmm. NFL players don't get a chance to use their leverage. The leverage always comes from the teams. And so seeing Russell Wilson do this, like, listen, y'all got till April 15th to pay me my money. Or else. I love seeing that because he's in a position to do that. We saw Antonio Brown do that a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, but the or else is not really or else I'm walking out the door.
I know, I don't mean like or else like I'm walking out the door. Yeah, I don't mean like that, but just
well,
as
I do
of...
think there is a or else, though, because of the way Russell Wilson has handled his business for 7 years, the or else is, or I'm going to be angry.
Yeah.
I'm going to be cranky.
Right.
And they don't. I've put up with a lot. I put up with a bad offensive line. I put up with defensive players throwing me under the bus. I put up with limited wide receivers.
Yeah.
And so the or else is like, oh, I can start complaining about this. Because I believe Russell Wilson's camp leaked this story right now. Because Adam Schefter has reported he informed the Seahawks in January about this deadline.
Yeah.
And I think the January deal happens to coincide with Adam Schefter reported in January, Patrick Mahomes next year is going to get $200 million. And I believe Russell Wilson's camp was like, well, if the market is going to be that next year off a kid who had one season.
One good season.
And I got this.
Yeah, but it sounds good. Don't get me wrong. And you talk about leverage. Yes, some players can find their way in having leverage. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. But the organization, the Seattle Seahawks can say, okay, we're not going to pay you. We're not going to meet your deadline. We're not going to pay you even going into next season. But we'll tag you. We'll franchise tag you. What can Russell Wilson do about that?
Not show up.
He can not show up. But what quarterback have we seen just sit out?
Who are they going to replace Russell Wilson with? That's what I want to know, because the only way the team is going to have real leverage over him is they're saying you're replaceable, right? He is not replaceable. I don't care if they gave up two first round picks for him. You're still not going to find another Russell Wilson type player. He is one of one, and he does everything for that football team. 2 years ago, when that offensive line was really bad, he led the team in rushing, obviously passing yards, touchdowns. Every only thing he didn't do that year was throw it and catch it himself.
I understand all of that, and I agree with it. But how many players are willing to do what Le'Veon Bell did this year? Sit out and miss out on that amount of money.
Just understand this. There's no organization that will allow Russell Wilson to sit out an entire season.
Very true.
You can do that with a running back.
Yeah.
It would take a game or two, and they'd be begging Russell Wilson to come back. Listen, I think – and again, I'm a Chiefs fan. Patrick Mahomes is the most talented. He does have next. He's more talented than Russell Wilson. But his resume, despite having an MVP, doesn't match Russell Wilson's.
Yeah.
I think if Russell Wilson holds his powder here and does wait until next offseason, he's going to get a $200 million contract too.
Yeah.
He's going to get every dime that Patrick Mahomes gets.
Yeah.
I really believe that. The guy's been impeccable. Mm-hmm.
He has. His resume speaks for itself. I just don't see the Seattle Seahawks going down that same road that they're witnessing all these other teams and organizations mm-hmm. experiencing with paying the quarterback and then struggling because now we don't have enough to put pieces around you so that we can be successful.
That's actually a great point you brought up because I do believe that part of it is true because you think about Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers, when you guys were on your run, he was around the $21, $22 million a year. So I think it would be smart for Russell Wilson to take that into account because your boys ain't sniffed the playoffs. It's been a while, right? Matt Ryan struggles. Kirk Cousins didn't sniff the playoffs last year. Jimmy Garoppolo, we ain't even seen him. So I think there's something to be said about getting maybe more upfront net guaranteed and keeping your base salary a little bit lower so that teams can go pay other players.
Reggie, normally I would agree with you. But I think what Russell Wilson and I think his agent have figured out is the salary cap just keeps going up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The CBA is nearing.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is going to set a market and the salary cap's going to continue to escalate. And then if they get into a new CBA, what Russell Wilson doesn't want to do is sign a contract like he did the last time
mm-hmm.
that had him number two behind Aaron Rodgers for a short blip of time.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's all the way down to the 12th highest paid quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he's looking for a deal that will withstand
for a while.
The new money, and he will this is when he's 30 years old, going to be 31. This is when you strike.
Yeah.
And then on the back end, you may cut him some slack. Mm-hmm. But right now, you got to cash
in. And he deserves it. I mean, when we look at this list, we can't name three quarterbacks that I would put above Russell Wilson here.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, no.
Nope.
Kirk Cousins, absolutely not. Nope. Jimmy Garoppolo, no. Matt Stafford, no. Nope. Derek Carr, nope. No. So is he worth it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Has he put up the numbers to say I am worth it? No doubt about it.
And he's done it when they had a bad offense line.
Yes.
Still put up numbers. If that doesn't say to a team that I'm deserving of this money, then I don't know what does.
I think also he's saying to the Seattle, like, look, I played in the most conservative offense mm-hmm. other than what they did in Baltimore for Lamar Jackson. We ran the ball. We still have never found a true, true number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to Doug Baldwin. If this offensive personnel improves at all, y'all think the 35-9 I put up last year, I can put up 45 and 7 or 8 this coming year and be even more valuable. I think he thinks his stock will continue to rise and come January next year, his stock's going to have more value than it does right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of people forget that Russell Wilson, to your point, he's never really had a plethora of options around him on his side of the football.
No.
Right.
Defensively, they have been stacked and stout. But offensively, he's always had to bear the load.
Never had an Andy Reid.
Exactly, and pull a rabbit out of his hat to make things happen.
Lynch, but he never had an Andy Reid.
Yes, and so I think
Tyreek Hill.
He's been able to overcome. You have to put that into consideration, how much he's been able to overcome mm-hmm. with less. Everybody talks about windows closing with what you have, with even Aaron Rodgers. But has he been able to do what Russell Wilson has done? No.
I think that's the leverage, just because this is no longer that defensive team. That Legion of Boom is gone. So now this is an offensive-based team, and I think he understands that. I know he understands that and understands that, listen, this is my team now. This is no longer that Legion of Boom team when we won the Super Bowl and you guys gave them all the credit, you know, to them and Marshawn Lynch. Now this is, I'm the guy, and I'm the only guy.
Hey guys, Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you like what you hear, then you should take a minute to check out the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, hosted by The Herd's very own Joy Taylor. On the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, you'll tap into a different take on the world of sports. Joy will break down all the biggest stories from the NFL, NBA, culture, in and out of sports, and everything in between. So subscribe now for a weekly episode of Maybe I'm Crazy every Tuesday night on your favorite podcast platform. Now back to the show. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Green Bay, where the Matt LaFleur era has begun for the Packers, and it might already be off to a rocky start You would think the first-time head coach would make his relationship with Aaron Rodgers a priority, but according to LaFleur, while he's had some conversations with Rodgers since taking over the team, they haven't actually met in person. All right, Greg, I can't wait to hear your take on this. I put this on Aaron Rodgers. If I got a new boss, I definitely want to get face-to-face with him. The guy's been there 2 months. I blame Aaron Rodgers for this meeting not happening, and it should have happened.
Yeah, I blame Aaron Rodgers. Now, both parties are obviously involved here, and they should take ownership. But majority, and when I say majority, I mean like 90% of it is on Aaron Rodgers. It falls on his shoulders. And you used a word that I don't know necessarily if Aaron Rodgers likes my new boss. Like, because in his mind, I truly believe I'm that dude.
Yeah.
I'm the boss.
Yeah.
It's when you look at the Green Bay Packers, their success lies on the shoulder and the arm of Aaron Rodgers because of how talented he's been, what he brings to this table. He's the highest paid man in that building. So it comes through me. Now, what LaFleur said, he says, I know how important our relationship is going to be. Aaron Rodgers, he knows there has to be a relationship there in order for us to have success. And what I mean by relationship is I have to know that you bring, or I should say, Aaron Rodgers is like, I need to know, what do you offer me? What can you bring to the table that I can sponsor? Exactly. But if you had something that was credible already, there would be no problem with me meeting with you.
But why is it on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders? Because Matt LaFleur is the head coach, and the direction of this franchise is going to be based off of the culture that he creates for them, right? And so you are now the CEO of this football team. You are now, so to speak, Aaron Rodgers' boss, right? And so for me, if I'm the head coach, the first person I'm going to find is Aaron Rodgers. I need to meet with him. I need to start developing a relationship with him.
You think LaFleur hasn't? He understands the power dynamic and how important.
Well, that's what has he? I don't know.
Oh, I'm making an assumption.
Okay.
But if I'm that coach, hell yeah, I'm trying to meet with him. I fly anywhere to meet with him.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is the guy. This is LeBron James, Luke Walton 100%. All over again.
Yeah. So
I hear what you're saying, Reggie. But my problem with this is, why did Mike McCarthy get let go? Because they lost, but. What was the rumors going on? It wasn't rumors, if you ask me, because I was there. I witnessed the dynamic.
Yeah.
There was relationship issues. Mm-hmm. There was a clash between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a new head coach and I'm going into this organization understanding that this is the main priority, this is the key to my success, to make sure that I tread lightly with this guy, but I have him on the same page, I'm not going to bend over completely backwards to already give him the leverage that we all know he wants, which is saying that, you're the guy. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. No, you can't do that as a young head coach. Mm-hmm. You have to put your foot in the ground and say, I'm going to meet you, but you got to meet me as well.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I'm not saying bend over backwards for Aaron Rodgers at all, and I don't ever think any coach should do that. That's why I'm such a fan of Belichick, because you know he holds Tom Brady accountable, right? You know he holds him accountable even in some of the little things, in the details, right? And so I agree there has to be a happy medium between both of them. You cannot just say, I'm going to just do whatever I can for you, because ultimately it's the coach's job to coach and to get his team, not just Aaron Rodgers, get his team ready to win football games. And I've always felt from the outside looking in that the Green Bay Packers have done somewhat a disservice to him since that team left, because they operate like everything is about Aaron Rodgers' shoulder. Mm-hmm. When's the last time they gave him a running back, right? Like, I've been screaming for a long time, give him a good run game. Go get him some more receivers. Get him a defense. And it just seems like we got Aaron Rodgers. It don't matter what happens in the game, we got Aaron Rodgers. We always got a shot.
Aaron Rodgers, to me, is a lot like LeBron James. And it's difficult, man, because he thinks he's smarter than everybody else, including the coaches. And, Reggie, this is something you can relate to as a high school and a college player. This is why I blame Aaron Rodgers. As a high school and a college player, you were the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any wasn't every coach in the country trying to get a meeting with Reggie Bush?
Yes.
So, Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers is you in high school and college.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a meeting, Reggie. Aaron Rodgers is playing hard to get.
Yeah.
And It's a mistake.
Yeah.
And it's to me, I go back, I said during last summer, I was like, oh, LeBron ain't met with this dude for 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. There's a disconnect there.
Here and possibly a lack of respect, too, because they're about the same age.
And we got this 35-year-old quarterback, 39-year-old head coach.
You know how we can settle all this? Why don't you just, I know you got him on speed dial, man. Hey, go ahead and hit him up.
Let me tell you
FaceTime
something.
FaceTime him right now. Listen, Aaron Rodgers, we got some questions.
Nah, he just need to go meet. Go see my man.
Joined now by NBA champion Steven Jackson and Bleacher Report senior writer Eric Rick Bucher. What I'm talking
about. Go hang in there if you want.
Slick Rick.
Let's move to the NBA, where LeBron's first season with the Lakers is mercifully coming to a close, but the speculation over who their next coach will be is heating up. Well, I've put together a list of my top five candidates to replace Luke Walton. It's better than the Vegas odds everyone's touting. My list includes Ty Lue, Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd, all of whom have been getting a lot of buzz lately. I've also added a couple of wild cards in there, like Juwan Howard, who's a Vegas favorite right now, and Kansas coach Bill Self. Rick, I'm going to start with you.
Yes.
Who should be coaching LeBron and the Lakers next year?
Dun, 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 dun. Ooh.
That's the Allen Iverson step over there.
Okay, nice.
A little artistry, if you will.
It
depends on what we're trying to do. Are we trying to win a championship in L.A.? Is that still
the objective? Well, you define. What should they be trying to do? That's your coach pick. You're trying to win it all.
If I go and get LeBron James, then I got to put him in the best position to succeed. I know he succeeded with Ty Lue. I know he's familiar with him. I know that they are comfortable with each other. Anything else that you've put out there on the board, especially Bill Self, that is like way out there.
A good coach is way out there, but go ahead.
Well, a good college, coach.
Right. Basketball coach.
Yeah. There's a big difference there in my mind, but we're talking about winning a championship. So Juwan Howard, I mean, that's Luke Walton. It's Luke Walton with less experience. I like the idea of Jason Kidd if you're going to take sort of an off-the-track choice, but for me, if you're trying to get something done in short order with LeBron James, there's really only one choice, and Ty Lue is it.
Mm. All right, Greg. What you got?
I'm not going with Ty Lue. I'm going here with Mark Jackson.
Biggity Mark, last name.
I'm going with Mark Jackson. And the reason why, number one, I'll say, Mark Jackson's representation is who? Clutch Sports, may I add. Let me know that for number one.
So the bookkeeping will be tight.
I'm just saying it's Clutch Sports, but he holds Mark Jackson in a high regard. He respects Mark Jackson, what he was able to do on the court as a player, what he does now, how he's coached, what he's done what he did with the Golden State Warriors. So there's a level of respect that he will have going into this. Has he won? As a head coach, no, a championship. But Ty Lue, he has won with Ty Lue in the East. This is a different beast. Mark Jackson has coached in the West. He understands what it takes to win in the West. And then you give him LeBron James, somebody who you're going to thrive with. He's worked with young guys. He's developed young guys. He developed that core that we see thriving right now with Steve Kerr in Golden State.
I like the choice. Can anybody pick holes in Mark Jackson? Why not Mark Jackson?
Well, I would say this as far as, some of the similar situations why I didn't work in Golden State. You have certain players that curse. You have certain players that are outlandish. And Mark, he kind of like puts a hold on a lot of that stuff. It's more of a clean run team. And it's hard to tell men what to say and what to do. And that's going to be a problem.
Again, for me, it's the timeline. Mark Jackson did what he did, and I was there front and center to see it. He changed the culture of the Golden State Warriors. He said, we're not going to be the same old Warriors. He implemented a defensive mentality that they had not previously had. But it took a couple years to do that. They're not there right now. I need a guy who's going to instantly take me to the starting line, and we're taking off chasing a championship.
Really quick question.
No, did they have time?
Did they have a LeBron James?
No, but they had a Steph Curry. They had a Klay Thompson.
They had a developing Steph Curry.
I'm going to tell you why I like Mark Jackson. Anybody on this list, there's one guy that I know that has a big enough pair to stand up to.
And it better not be self. It better not be self.
No, I said Mark Jackson.
Oh, okay. My bad. I was about to run out of here.
Let me finish. I'm going to circle back to that.
My bad, OG.
But I'm just saying, Mark Jackson has a big enough, and I think that's most important. LeBron, when you go look at the success he had in Miami, Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra had a big enough pair to stand up to LeBron. Mm-hmm. That's the key. No.
Yep. And that's that. That's why. That's
so
why my pick.
So did Ty Lue? Did he or did he not?
Ty Lue took off sick, and I love Ty Lue. I've known him since he was a kid. I love Ty Lue. Ty Lue took off sick. Okay. LeBron wore him out.
Fair.
Mark Jackson ain't gonna get worn out, and it's for the same reasons Steven's talking about. This dude is filled, and again, I'm not. You don't have to agree with him. He's filled with a religious energy
that I love.
That supersedes everything.
I love
He can deal with LeBron James. He's not scared of LeBron James, even though they're both represented by Clutch. There's too much fear of LeBron James in the NBA. That's why I halfway like this
I pick. Would think Jay Kidd would have the same onions and the ability to stand up to him. But again, to say it's how you stand up to LeBron.
Very
I can't
true.
Just be telling LeBron what to do. I need to be able to persuade him that this is the best way to do it, and I need to listen as much as I have to
a
tell.
A preacher. That's what preachers do. They persuade.
Okay.
And they use their bully pulpit to persuade.
What you said, and what you said, he has it all. Experience. He has the experience. He has the toughness. What else? What else he needs?
He's one.
He's a snake.
As a player.
I mean, how many people does he have to snake before we can put that label on him? Huh?
Who has he snaked?
Look, the guy, Larry Drew.
You going by what you hear, right?
Buddies. Who?
Are you going by what you hear?
Who, Brian Shaw, didn't he have the Brooklyn job? And
you assuming.
Went in and took
you
that.
You assuming, right?
When your best friend's in Milwaukee
I'm
hire
just
you
saying,
and they fire
I don't assume what everybody say about you on IG because I know you. So you can't assume.
Byron Scott is the name you're thinking of.
Byron Scott. But
the best person for the job right here.
If your best friend's in Milwaukee hire you,
he's not hired by Clutch.
Why?
Because he has the experience. LeBron respects him. He can tell LeBron when he's wrong. He can hold LeBron accountable for all his mistakes, not playing defense.
Honestly?
The perfect guy. Nobody respects Lou Walton. Nobody.
This defeats the purpose of our conversation.
What?
We're approaching this from the wrong end. You need a GM. You need someone who's going to build that roster far more than you need a head coach. You can get any one of these guys can come in.
Well, I haven't
in.
Given my choice
they're,
yet.
They're not ultimately going to be the solution.
I haven't given all my right. choice yet.
He wanted to go last.
I wanted to go last.
Get the magic bullet.
Juwan Self.
Juwan
Self. Oh, my goodness.
I like both of these guys.
Juwan's a respected guy.
Right. And Juwan, I know Juwan personally, covered him when he was the Fab Five. The guy has great character.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
And
he does.
Scared of nothing.
Agreed.
Will stand up to LeBron. I'm not going to put him on Mark Jackson's level, but they have enough of a relationship that, you know, LeBron, I think Juwan is a guy that would command LeBron's respect. And I just respect Juwan. I happen to personally, I've covered Bill Self for a long time, have seen him coach. To me, I would hire Bill Self. And I'd trade LeBron.
Go ask 100 players in the NBA and ask them if they know Bill Self.
See, the issue
I would hire Bill Self.
Nobody knows him.
And
I don't
dump
have,
LeBron.
I don't have an issue
Andrew
with
Wiggins
Ty
knows
Lue.
Him.
I don't
look,
have
look, look what you're talking about.
Kid, but the Bill
Joel
Self.
Embiid knows him.
The Bill Self.
Right.
The reason why I would have an issue with a Bill Self is because you need somebody right out the gate to have LeBron James's ear and attention. Bill Self is not going to have that. In respect, yes.
J-Kid, Mark Jackson.
J-Kid would
Mark
have
Jackson.
That. Juwan Howard would have that.
Mark Jackson, too.
And Tyronn Lue would have that.
The first time Bill Self puts a play in, runs a practice, and LeBron or anybody on that team says, that's not how we do it at this
Rondo.
Level.
Rondo.
Done.
Come on, y'all be going to run this.
Done.
Team, right? You kidding
Rondo,
me?
Done.
Rondo dusted immediately. I'll dust Rondo today. His days are numbered.
Are you
His
kidding me?
His days are behind him.
Come What's, on, who's man.
He's winning the championship.
You can't
he's
dust a, me. I'm not in the NBA.
He's part
you
of
won't score on me.
I'm not talking about playing.
He's talking
I'm
about
saying
getting rid
I'm,
of him.
I'm talking about getting rid of
Why would you get rid of an NBA champion, an experienced champion? You
a got a whole decade
bunch,
ago?
You got a whole bunch
Paul,
of...
You know Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and
he's
Ray
He's better
Allen
than a lot of those guys on the team right now.
And that's the problem. And that's why Rick made the point of... they need to build a real roster.
No, they do. They do.
And again, I guess Rick's saying they need to sweep out Magic and Pelinka if they really want to have a chance.
I'll give them this summer to show me what they're capable of doing. But the reality is that we're all, the focus is so much on, like, okay, they're one piece away. They're a coach away. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one fix. They're not anywhere close.
Nope.
Not making the playoffs and finding out exactly who you want to keep among these young guys, because you can do all you want during the regular season. Mm-hmm. You need to be in the postseason to show me what you're really about. When a team prepares for you, now I get to find out whether I can build with you or not.
Right.
They're not going to get that opportunity. So they are flying blind with talent that nobody around the league respects. So you're going to be, it's going to be a challenge to get anything for them. And you're trying to build a championship team off a lottery team.
And not, and going into the playoffs, Rick, going into the playoffs, not knowing what guys can play in those big games and not making those big shots going into next season, that's something they needed to see. They need to see who they can bring going forward and who they can build on going forward. They can't see that not being in the playoffs.
Reggie Bush and Steven Jackson are back. Time for my favorite segment. Time to get anti-social.
Twitter off.
Yeah. With my man Darnell. Darnell, yeah. What's crack-a-lackin'?
What's up, buddy?
Yes, up. Hey, we're going to get started off with AAF, who we all know have officially suspended all football operations in the middle of their very first season. This is obviously very disappointing to the players. And just to put the icing on the cake, sources say that teams force the players to pay for their own flights home.
Oh, my
damn,
God.
Damn, I hope they find Spirit or Allegiant, because it's going to be expensive. Twitter was going wild with people complaining that the players had to come out of their own pockets for flights. But, guys, are you surprised by this?
This is the NFL version of the CBA. When I first came into the league, I got drafted, and they sent me to the CBA. And, I mean, we was in a small van with 8 7-footers driving 6 hours for games. Brothers, I feel y'all. Run quick. They're going to start your career with that mess.
That's yeah, terrible, you can't do this. You got yes, at you least, can. No, you got to come out of your pocket and pay for these guys to get back home.
I agree with you, man. I'm actually at a loss of words right now. Are you pay for their own flights home? Are you kidding
Come
me?
On, Come on, man.
Man, what, my mother worked at Western Electric. They made her pick up from Indianapolis and move to Kansas City just to keep her job away from her whole family. Why the athletes got to be special?
Oh,
it happens in corporate America.
They making millions of dollars off
they,
of us.
Did they pay to help her? Making millions of dollars off these guys.
Did they pay to help her move?
They did, but they paid her away from her family.
They paid to help her move, though.
Life is unfair.
It hits you fast,
life
too.
Life is unfair.
It hits you fast.
It hits you real fast.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, moving on to the NFL. Future Hall of Fame defensive back Charles Woodson took to Twitter to share his feelings towards his former team, working out Kyler Murray, saying, quote, "A lot of people were up in arms about Antonio Brown forcing his way out of Steelers. But then Derek Carr has to watch and hear his team, the Raiders, work out other potential franchise quarterbacks. More to the story, don't ever get comfortable."
Mm.
Carr responded to the news with a picture of himself, indicating that he's watching them.
I see you.
Does Woodson have a point here?
He's got a great point. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could disagree, but he's got a hell of a point.
Yeah. He definitely has a great point here. And I think Derek Carr, I love the response. Like, I see this. I'm not going to get comfortable. You know what this league is. Yep. When he got drafted, somebody in front of him had to watch out. Mm. Look, it's no different. The Raiders are going to do their due diligence. Got to watch your back.
Yeah, and all the stuff that that the coach is saying, talking about, hey, he's our guy, this and that. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Until you see that new young thing come across that stage and you like, I gotta have it.
Yes, then indeed.
You're out the door.
That's one reason why I love LeBron for what he's doing for basketball. Players knowing their worth, knowing where they need to be, and taking control of their careers.
And try to trade half the team.
Because situations.
Try to trade half the team.
It's all about winning.
Love that, don't you?
It's all about winning. At the end of the day, it's a what have you done for me lately?
Yes, finished. It's a what have you done for me.
It's a what have you done for me lately business. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if they feel like they're done with you, then they're going to send you on by the way. So do it your way. Mm-hmm. And if you can do it your way, do it your way.
And if you can trade your teammates, trade your teammates.
At the end of the day, LeBron is not up there saying, talking to these teams, saying
please.
Trade teammates. So you can't say he's trading the teammates.
Clutch Sports.
They don't. Clutch Sports don't work for the Lakers.
They work for LeBron.
But they don't trade players.
They tried to get Anthony
They negotiate.
Davis.
The Lakers have to. I'm giving you some information. The Lakers have sign
and
say, okay, we agree on a trade with the other teams. LeBron is not in those meetings.
Stop it, Jack.
Come on,
you don't have to be in the meetings.
You're giving him too much credit.
You're telling them what to do with text messages.
You're giving LeBron too much credit. You're giving LeBron too much credit.
Too hard on these.
Tim Duncan,
And it ain't no better.
And Pop is like this. Tim Duncan was never in the trade meeting.
Because he's not LeBron. He wasn't trying to run things. He was coachable.
Oh, goodness.
Darnell, what you
got? Just moving on to the hardwood. Just days after Duke season ended, a video surfaced of Zion Williamson throwing down a monster jam at a gym in Duke's campus. Most people on social media praise Zion for loving the game and just wanting to hoop, but others thought it was a stupid move because he could get hurt. Zion is projected to get a massive shoe deal, with Sonny Vaccaro saying, quote, in my lifetime, I think it's going to be the biggest bidding war ever done. Mm-hmm. Y'all think Nike is still in the mix after the infamous shoe explosion?
Yes, I think everybody's in the mix, and I think Zion's going to change the game. I think he's the guy that can challenge Michael Jordan as a shoe salesman. None of these other guys had a chance. This dude has a chance.
I don't know if he's going to challenge Michael Jordan. That's a bit far, but wow. Yeah, Nike is definitely still in the game. Because they got that bag.
Hey, Nike.
They got that. Look, you're right. Can you pay me? Money talks.
And everybody loved Nike. Like, we all grew up loving Jordans, Nikes. I love
Adidas.
You love Adidas?
Yeah.
Why?
They got a wider base.
Nike. I'm a Nike guy.
Send me a box.
Even when I was with Adidas, I was still at heart a Nike guy.
Free promotion. Hey, they all. Every company has a chance right now because he hasn't made a decision. Al Harrington, I told you that video was new. Everybody was saying that video was old. This kid loves playing basketball.
Yes.
I don't. Yeah. Right. And we all did when we was young. Mm-hmm. We all played on the concrete and stuff like that. So I'm happy he's still playing.
I'm going to make this prediction. I want you to. Zion's going to sell more shoes than LeBron. When it's all said and done, he's going to be a better shoe salesman than LeBron.
That's going to be based off his career.
To be honest,
it's gonna happen.
I think Kyrie and KD got better shoes than LeBron, so that's all an opinion thing.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about who's going to actually move more units. At the end of the day, who's going triple platinum?
I don't know.
The guys that jump the highest and dunk the most always sell the most
shoes. He better go to 8 straight finals.
But he won't pass MJ. He will not pass MJ. Shoes that I done bought 20 times.
I'm
going to buy them again next week.
Thank you. You feel me?
I'll be in line again next week for the same shoe I done bought 10 times.
I'm going to tell you.
Nobody's going to do that.
And I love you, Stack, but I'm going to tell you why. Don't be offended by this.
Yes.
The reason why he ain't got all the tats, man. He's going to cross over like Jordan did. Next!
All right, moving on to the Lakers.
Possible.
Obviously, there's been nonstop talk about LeBron's first Lakers season, with most people worried about the team chemistry between him and the younger guys. Well, last night, Kyle Kuzma was seen on the bench helping LeBron put his chain on. LeBron posted a video and roasted Kuzma by saying that this is the first assist he gave him all year. Seems like these guys are trying to shut down the rumors surrounding the team. Guys, you believe all is well in L.A.?
They ain't got no choice now. Season over, they all are going on vacation. Right. Everybody in a good mood. Everybody's good right now. But when it's time to come to training camp, he ain't here. Okay. Well, I got to start.
Who did LeBron train? Most of the team.
Everybody, you know, it might be the same. So the relationship is good right now because everybody finna go on vacation. But when it's time to come back to training camp and certain faces ain't there, we'll see if it's the same.
Right. I'm with you there. Everybody's fate is the same right now. Our season is over. Mm-hmm. After that, we'll figure out what we're doing moving forward.
Exactly.
Listen, man, I think Michael Rapaport has a pretty good tweet here, or IG post. Asking your teammates to do this kind of corny stuff in public, man, I don't think that's the look, man.
Everybody like white chocolate, man. Everybody like Mike Rapaport.
I know, but again, would you have been putting a necklace around Tim Duncan's neck?
If he asked me to. That's my team. That's my brother. I would.
It's respect.
I would. If you asked me to fix your pocket square,
I'm from a different era.
All right.
OG.
What era is that?
Don't you right.
Help somebody when they need training there?
I'm from a different era.
That's the don't help somebody when they need help.
I'm going to help my mama put her jewelry on. I'm going to help my girl put her jewelry on.
You ain't going to help your partner?
That's your brother. Yeah. Where's your
brother? I'm glad you tell me that. I'm not doing no dirt with you.
I literally remember one day coming on the set fixing your collar one time.
That's different than helping you put your jewelry on, man. Help me put my earring
on. What you got against jewelry?
I don't think that's a different
look. Yeah, I ain't helping you put your earring on.
That's different. I'm a different air. All right, time for Darnell's question of the day. Take it over.
All right, y'all. You guys touched on this earlier today. We know Russell Wilson is trying to work out a new contract with the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's rumors that his wife, Sierra, wants out of Seattle. So it got me thinking, what's the key to balancing work and family?
Ooh. I'm going to let Greg go first. He's
You know what? It's being present. Knowing when to put each one of them down. When you're at work, I'm present. Right now, currently, I leave for weeks at a time. I'm here. I'm present. You guys get my undivided attention. When I'm home, don't call me. asking me what's going on, I'm present. I'm with my kids, I'm with my wife, I'm on their schedule, and I'm present.
Well, Reggie, hold on. Reggie's married too.
Okay,
let's let the married dudes go.
I'm all over the place.
Dang. It's crazy because when you think about marriage, right? I'm glad you hit on that. You think about marriage, right? And the requirements it takes to get married, right? Very little, right? So, which means that it takes more requirements to get a driver's license than it does to get married. And so one of the things that I think the key to balancing work and family is knowledge, right? Knowledge about marriage. Because I truly believe, like, a lot of us, a lot of guys, they'll get married and assume that because I'm successful on a football field or on a basketball court, that I'm going to already be successful in marriage. Two completely different things.
Right.
And so to me, I think it's just knowledge of understanding what marriage is, understanding what it means to be a father, what it means to be a husband, all those different things play into that. The same amount of work you put in to win a Super Bowl, same amount of work you got to put into that marriage.
You make work what you want to make work, right? If you don't want to answer somebody text, you don't answer it. If you want to be a great father, you'll be a great father. I have five kids, I have five girls, two boys. My kids are everywhere. And I'm not with none of their moms. So I make it a point to be in their lives. And when I'm not working, I'm with one of them. I'm spending time with them. So it's all about you making it work. Now, I want to work and travel and do the jobs I do, but at the same time, I make it work because I have to provide for my family. So that understanding has to be there. Now, I can see if I was just gone partying and doing stuff that wasn't beneficial to my household and to my kids. But when I leave, it's beneficial to my household. When I'm not working, I'm with my kids. You make work what you want to make work. If you want to be a great father, you will be.
That's real. I'll say that I've had... My life has been out of balance. I've been way too overboard on work. And it was this past weekend, I spent 4 days in Kansas City with my family, both adopted and real.
Barbecue.
And we had a couple parties. But anyway, it was such a positive experience. It energized me coming back to work that I've literally been on the phone the past couple days just talking to people like, man, that's what family does for you. It actually makes you better at your job if you have the proper balance and you get that, you soak up that positive energy and love from your family. So I've been trying to balance mine out, but it's your family's an important part of your work success.
Real love can rejuvenate you.
Yeah.
Real love can rejuvenate
you. But they also work hand in hand too.
They do. Stephen Jackson and Rick Bucher are back. Let's move now to college basketball, where Tom Izzo has Michigan State back in the Final Four, despite some controversy after Izzo got into it with one of his players during round one of the tourney. Well, now a Final Four-bound coach. In the women's bracket, Gina Auriemma has weighed in, lamenting the difficulties of coaching today's athletes, explaining, quote, "The majority of coaches in America are afraid of their players. The NCAA, the athletic directors, and society has made them afraid of their players. Every article you read, this guy's a bully, this woman's a bully, this guy went over the line, this woman was inappropriate, yet the players get off scot-free and everything. They can do whatever they want." I think Gina Auriemma is one of the few guys that can get away with saying these things, because I think if it was a coach of a men's sport, there'd be a lot more blowback. But I also think what Gino is saying, really, if you boiled it down, if he really got totally honest, is coaches are afraid of the media because there's virtually no context around any of these stories that get spun out about a coach and interactions with a player. And they're justifiably scared that if an athlete makes any accusation, the media is going to take it verbatim, put no context around it. And so I agree with him. I do believe coaches are scared. They're scared of the media and they're scared of their players.
I agree to a degree. I think it's more so that they're not so much scared of the players, but they understand the reality of what players provide for them. Meaning, if I don't get these group of players or this particular player that everybody is high on that I should be winning with, if they don't produce wins, then my job is at stake. I'm at risk. And so I think that's the reality that they live in. But when you look at coaches, like we saw with Tom Izzo, I play with a coach, Mike Zimmer, who he doesn't care who you are. He's going to tell you what's real. And I think that's the main issue. A lot of these players, it doesn't matter what sport, they tell you, I just want you to be real with me. I just want you to be honest with me. but they don't really want what's real, because what's real is what we saw Tom Izzo do during the game. But did it affect the team? No. Why? Because it's a culture. It's like parenting. The way I parent, I'm going to be different some days, but the morals on what I stand on are going to be that. Now, I may have to handle you a little differently from time to time, but you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. Coaches are afraid of losing their jobs. Now, whether it's the media or it's the AD or it's not getting the players or it's the parents with the players, it's all of that. And the fact is that they don't have the backing. I blame the schools at the college level of not giving them the backing to be able to say, run the program the right way, make demands on players, we have your back, and if you lose out on a great talent, we'll live with that because we want the program run a particular way. Mm-hmm. It's not done that. They are based on winning and losing. So they're thinking, I've got to hedge my bets. Mm-hmm. I've got to kowtow to players. And a guy like Geno can get away with it in the college game because their success, his doesn't have to worry about recruiting. People are dying to go play for their program. A men's coach wouldn't be able to do that because there are a lot of other options. But I agree 100%. I agree in that it still comes back to the coaches. I would rather do it my way and live or die with that as opposed to having to turn the cheek and not do things the way I would want to do it, to allow people to get away with things. You make that choice as a coach, then you have to live with it.
I got a lot of respect for Geno because I can imagine how hard it is to discipline women and not offend nobody. I'm pretty sure that's pretty hard, and be great at it. He's been great for a long time, so I know his job is even harder than coaching men because you can offend men and get away with it. You can't offend a woman and get away with it. So I applaud him for the job he's been doing. You have to be a coach like Greg Popovich. I think that's the reason why I had a long career. You have to have a coach that can come to you and make it clear that he cares more about you as a person than a player. I had a conversation with Pop, and when I first met him, the conversation was direct. It was about things that had nothing to do with basketball, things in my life that I need to fix. By him coming at me like that, it's easy to respect him because when he come at me like that, he goes straight to practice. And when Tim Duncan, your best player, makes a mistake, he's screaming at him like he was screaming at the guy at the end of the bench. That's how you have to be coached. Great coaches do that. If you look at all the great coaches, they coach the star player just like the worst player on the team.
Yeah.
That's all a great coach. You can't stand a day and critique a coach like Izzo after all the years he's been great because he's been doing it the right way. They're doing it the right way for a reason, and they're great for a reason.
Ultimately, it's this. If a coach is trying to make me or you better, how he does it, we can look at it from the outside and judge that and go, oh, hey, that's too much or that's mm-hmm. too loud or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of what's the motive. If he's yelling at me because he's frustrated and he thinks he's going to lose his job and he's worried about all kinds of other things and he's taking it out on me, that's a different deal. Mm-hmm. With Izzo, for the example, with Aaron Henry, yeah, he yelled at the kid. They went back and forth, and then he played the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came down to winning the game, he gave the kid the ball and gave him an opportunity as a freshman.
Right.
To me, I have no problem with what Tom Izzo did.
Let me ask this question. I'm from Indiana, and I'm 50 years old. I was a kid in Bobby Knight's heyday.
Mm-hmm.
And my first job out of college was in Bloomington, Indiana. I worked for Bobby Knight's best friend, Bob Hamill, was the sports editor. Bob Knight couldn't exist today. He would be demonized and run out of the game and portrayed as evil. Those of us from Indiana would say, the guy was a brutal coach. He was like a military, Marine drill instructor.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the results, pretty damn good. And I'm not just talking about win and lose. I'm talking about kids going to class, turning out guys like Isaiah Thomas and things like that. Everybody knew what they were signing up for with Bob Knight. And so if you're a guy that couldn't deal with that, you wouldn't go. But I don't think he could exist today. He would be demonized as evil. And I'm not sure if that's the right.
Was Bobby Knight the same coach at the end of his run that he was at the beginning?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think at the beginning of his run, he was even more brutal.
Okay. But there were instances and there were incidents that happened with Bobby that colored the image of him. Mm-hmm. That
yeah.
had nothing, throwing the chair, doing things that have nothing to do with coaching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He created an image of himself that undercut him. Yelling at kids and demanding of them and all that. He coached Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas thinks the world of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with all that. It's all the extraneous stuff. in today's world with the media that you can't get away with That's because true. Now people are going to look at you in a different way.
Great point, Rick. All right, before we go, I'd like to challenge Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. Yesterday, in a story published by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Tomlin expressed disappointment with where the NFL stands in terms of employing black coaches. Tomlin's just one of three black head coaches in the NFL today. The Chargers' Anthony Lynn and the Dolphins' Brian Flores are the others. Tomlin told the Post-Gazette, quote, "I think the numbers speak for themselves in that regard. It was a disappointing hiring cycle for someone who watches it like I do, knowing some of the deserving men I do who I thought should have gotten an opportunity and didn't. But we'll continue to work and fight for equality and opportunity." Tomlin went on to suggest that the lack of diversity in NFL coaching has to be fixed at a grassroots level, and the young black coaches must be cultivated. He suggested that the NFL is in love with offensive-minded coaches and that black coaches are often advised to coach on the defensive side of the ball, as he was early in his career. There is some truth in Tomlin's point, but there are larger truths that Tomlin avoids. As the Steelers' head coach for the past 12 years and the third longest tenured coach in the NFL after Bill Belichick and Sean Payton, Tomlin has been in position to do more for black coaches than virtually anybody in football. Head coaches create coaching trees that bear fruit. No fruit has grown from Tomlin's tree. Bruce Arians is the lone Tomlin assistant to land a head coaching job. Arians, like all of Tomlin's coordinators, is white. In fact, Arians was on the Steelers' coaching staff before Tomlin was named the head coach. Furthermore, Arians' coaching tree produced Todd Bowles, a black head coach for the New York Jets. Has Tomlin used the power he's gleaned from winning a Super Bowl and appearing in a second one to empower coaches who look like him? Tony Dungy did. Tony Dungy's tree produced Herm Edwards, Lovie Smith, Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, and wait for it, Mike Tomlin. Hell, Bill Belichick has produced twice as many black head coaches as Mike Tomlin. Success is the best creator of opportunity. Too often we think complaining creates opportunities. It doesn't. It creates a reputation for constant complaining. I want to challenge Mike Tomlin to be highly successful again. The last time he won a Super Bowl, Jim Caldwell, Mike Singletary, and Raheem Morris all landed head coaching jobs. All right, Whitlock and Jennings, joined again by Steven Jackson and Rick Bucher. It's time for the Emmy Award-winning Dat Dudes Dudes. Steven Jackson will be filling in for Marcellus. Steven, what you got?
Well, let's get to it. Dat Dudes Dudes, number three. We got Action Jackson.
Action Jackson?
Yeah, you know, hey, no, this is they in Indiana, so no malice. You got Reggie. You got Reggie, so he got Bop Donovich, because he's been a bop, bop, bop. Get over here. Play a little Mortal Kombat. Get over here. Oh, don't. After you separate and you get the shot, this is what you do when you got a big guy trying to close out. You get a what? And one. Mm. Finish the shot and one. So we just changed his name. This Bop Donovich, because he got bopped up today at number three. That dude.
Reggie Bullock.
Number two, we got this boy Spider-Man Mitchell. Check him out. He going to catch it on the ISO. Now, Kimba, you got to do better than this. Turn Kimba completely around. Oh, I see this big guy. He looked at the big guy like Red Fox. Come here, you big dummy. Show it one side. Put it on the other side of the glass. Yeah. You see it? Now you don't. Spider Mitchell. With great powers come great responsibility, huh? Show it. Put it on the other side. Spider-Man Mitchell at number two. That dude. You dig? Like the mask.
I like that as well.
At number one, we're going Northern Exposure. You want to see the best player, two-way player in the game? I'm going to get the rebound with the claw, make it look like a tennis ball in my hand.
It's Paul George out there.
I'm going to dribble. No, this is Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to look back. Oh, ain't nobody helping? Okay. I see food. I'm hungry. I'm going to run over here. Poof, 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 poof. Oh, y'all don't want the ball? Okay. I want it more to y'all. This means something to me. Let me get this and boom, boom, boom. Push you out the way. You too small. Claw. And one. Okay,
claw.
Best two-way player in the game. Rebound, oh, y'all don't want it? I'm gonna grab it with both claws. Boom, boom, body shot to the gut, lay, and one.
Damn, so he played that night, huh? He
didn't. Best two-way player in the game. At number one, that dude Kawhi.
Oh, good. That's nice. Great job, Steven.
Appreciate it.
That was really absolutely good. Awesome. All right, let's move to the Warriors, who blew out the Nuggets last night to help cement their hold on the top seed in the West, but had to finish the game without Kevin Durant, who was ejected in the third quarter. After years of dominance, Golden State has drifted pretty far from the suburban underdog image of their dynasty early days, especially with KD playing angry, Boogie Cousins being Boogie Cousins, and even Steph Curry taunting the refs last week. I hate to say it, but they've become unlikable to me. I don't like them.
You don't like winners.
No, I don't like... That's... Why they got to be in everybody's face? Why do they have to be the angry team, bickering with the... Why do they got to lead the league damn near in technical fouls with KD and Draymond at the top of it? Now you got Steph Curry, comes from a great family, great kid. He's supposed to be the lovable, huggable NBA star, and now he's taunting referees.
You know what happens when you're the best team?
What?
You get fouled the most. You know what happens when you got the best shooters in the game, three of the best? You get fouled a lot on jump shots, and they don't call it because they consider the hand being a part of the ball. These guys get fouled. Just because they're the best team don't mean they can't complain. They're human. They get fouled. So now all of a sudden the best team is complaining about fouls and getting thrown out the game. It's a problem. No. Getting thrown out the game is fun sometimes. Sometimes you want to get thrown out. Sometimes that referee need to hear that because they don't think they make mistakes. So don't just judge these guys because they complaining. Everybody complains. They just singling out because they're the best team.
I never complain.
You hit it on the head. They have become unlikable simply because they win.
Right.
When you win, it's not fun for everybody who's not a fan of you winning.
Yeah.
A la the fans, a la any other team that
Michael
has
Jordan
you on that schedule.
Michael
yes,
Jordan
he did.
Did
he did.
You look he got kicked out a lot, too.
At the New England Patriots.
No, he did.
He got kicked out some games, too.
Hey,
Michael Jordan said fighting doing games.
No.
Stop it.
They hated
doing
games.
They didn't throw you out of games for fighting at the back then.
Back then they didn't?
No,
they said Mike never got thrown out of game.
I'm not saying he never got thrown out of a game, but he did. He wasn't constantly. He could chew on the referees, but he knew how to do it. And this is the distinction here. Look, they are winning, and they're probably getting everybody's best shot. They're being played more physically than anybody else. This behavior that we've seen over the last week or two, this is beneath them. You are champions. You've won two championships. You've seen everything. You've done everything. Some referee blowing a call because he didn't call it when you were in the shooting motion.
So is it beneath Pop?
In what way?
Getting kicked out. Pop does it on purpose. A number of times.
That is exactly right.
So when we curse our referees, we do it on purpose.
Here's the
we
distinction.
We know what's coming after that.
No. Here's the thing.
We know what words to use.
Here's the thing.
I do for sure.
Pop does it to motivate the team, to put the referees on notice. This pointing and mocking the referee, that wasn't... You're trying to get a T that would have cost you the game. That's not winning you any points. In fact, it may have cost you the call that Leon Wood then made after the fact where you lost.
All technical fouls are to prove a point.
Steve, you do understand that.
All of them.
Draymond cost them a championship with this kind of behavior. Steve, come on, man. That's a fact. Cost them a championship with this kind of behavior.
And he also won them three. Help him win three.
See, I don't
think... Y'all looking at one thing, like...
He cost them a championship, Steve.
Okay, so you rather have three?
No, they could have had four. Blow this.
They still should have won without Draymond on the court.
Should have, could have, would have. They lost. LeBron baited Draymond, and they lost that championship.
So
they need to clean this behavior up, man. It's unbecoming of a championship.
I think I'm with you there. I'm with you. They do need to clean the behavior up. When I look at the New England Patriots, they win more, they talk less. That needs to become the trait of these Golden State Warriors.
If you look at the league and the top players, they all lead in technical fouls every year. Look at the top players that lead in technical
fouls,
Rick.
That's not a good trend, Steve.
But I'm saying this is what happens. So why y'all mad? Because Golden State doing it.
Steve, what you're arguing be like?
I'm making a point now.
I'm
making a point now.
I hear you.
Let's say, Whitlock's the host of the show. We should all put on weight. No,
that's definitely, that's not the same thing, Whit.
Yes, it is.
Just because you want to be big don't mean I want to be big.
And just because... you're being all the top players now because they got so much money, they don't care about being fined. They think they're above the law. They don't have to disrespect the referees.
They make mistakes too.
They do.
They
but
do.
A
no,
lot.
Jack, their behavior in the last week or two, has it helped them or hurt them?
They won. They've been winning.
No. They lost that Minnesota game.
They won last
has
night.
Has it helped them or hurt them?
Steven.
Y'all not looking at the big picture.
Yes, we are.
They still the best team in the league right now.
That's right.
So that doesn't justify everything.
So one night of arguing with the referees is, it's not a big deal.
If this was something that I could say has affected them in the playoffs with, I'm not talking about Draymond. Draymond Green has always done this. This has always been Draymond's MO, and that's his job.
That's
his job.
It's a cancer that's growing.
The same person that got kicked out, we talking about KD, they haven't lost with him yet. So what are we talking about?
You've added Boogie Cousins. It's a cancer that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The team's unlikable. They should be far more likable. They play a fun style of basketball that's enjoyable to watch. They got the most beautiful players in the game in terms of watching them play. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant.
They're not going to be likable because they win. Like, think about in life, people who win all the time get hated on the most.
That's just true.
Are you kidding me?
No,
just stop for a second. You think people didn't love Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls?
Yes.
They loved him.
Ask Michael Jordan.
Because he carried him.
Did he get hated on?
Come on.
It's not hating because they're winning. It's a matter of how you win.
Yes.
Are you arrogant about winning? And right now, the Golden State Warriors, the way they're behaving, is not. Look, people, last year, the year before, you think people hated the Golden State Warriors?
Oh, my God.
They loved the way they played. They were the little group that came together and did it.
Yeah, because.
Hold up.
Do you think people hated?
Winning is winning. How do you win? You win one way.
No. You can
what
win.
Do you mean?
You can win with class or you can win with arrogance.
Winning doesn't
just
win. If I'm beating you and I'm the best in the league and I don't win two or three championships, I'm going to beat you and I'm going to let you know however I wait, by the game or by telling you, yeah, I'm the best.
Yes.
So what? I'm winning. Winning
That's
is winning.
Competitors. The referees are there to do a job. You don't got to be abusive to them. You don't have to be a jerk while winning.
You don't, but at the same time, they make mistakes.
It's a little spoiled, pampered, suburban team that's full of itself.
Well, you go out there and shoot a shot, let somebody take your whole arm off, and they don't call a foul.
Uncle Jimmy's here. All right, let's get to it.
Here we go.
Beavis and Butthead or what?
It's Dwayne's World. Most excellent for you to have me here, dudes.
All right,
let's get to the big dummy of the day, okay?
Yeah.
The big dummy of the day is the person that started off this morning's show by saying, oh, I agree completely with you, Jason, and your Whitlock. Marcus would have never let no mess like that come out of his mouth. You big dummy. You never say no mess like that on this show.
Oh, man.
All right, here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Russell Wilson.
Act like it's your first day.
Wilson no longer wants to sign an extension this offseason. Wilson wants to wait until next offseason when Mahomes is expected to set the market on its head by signing a $200 million deal.
Now, with the quarterback rules being what they are to protect the quarterback, it's not as great of a risk for him to wait.
Physically, yeah.
Physically.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, what's your take?
Hey, man, look, first of all, man, this ain't got a damn thing to do with Patrick Mahomes. I don't even know why you even trying to even get Patrick Mahomes even involved in this mess. Okay? Patrick Mahomes ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in Russell's pockets. Okay? So what you need to do is keep Mahomes' name out your mouth. He ain't the problem.
All right, I did say Mahomes was the reason motivating Russell Wilson. If it's not Mahomes, what is it then?
It's Sir.
Who?
C-I-A-R-A. Sierra.
Oh, here we go.
That's all this is.
Here we go.
Curry, shh, pipe down. Uncle Jimmy talking up in here. Okay? You and my nephew both been running your mouth all day about this. Hey, zip it and learn something, son.
Keep going.
Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, sorry. Sierra. Okay, man, she the one that's orchestrating this madness. Okay? And this is the very reason Uncle Jimmy ain't dated one of them slim supermodels. You know, they just ain't appreciative. Now, I date a supersized model.
Oh,
I ain't gonna date no slim supermodel. So I'm just saying.
Oh, boy. Stop.
Yes.
Craig, shh. Would you talk in Aaron Rodgers' huddle?
I'll be quiet.
Damn, school's in session, son. Listen to me, bro. A woman under 250 pounds, she entitled to be bossy. And that's what we got going on right here. Hey, man, listen. Russell was completely fine in Seattle. And now we got Sierra calling all the shots. Now, you listen, she the one counting everybody else's money. You married?
Yes,
you married?
Yes, I am.
Now, what's she saying? All right, you see all that money, Oakland? You see all that money Oakland gave AB? Wait a minute. Aaron getting $33 million a year? Wait. Did I see he bought Danica Patrick a Bentley? Wait. We need this money, Russell. We need this money. Okay, look now.
Can you?
I need this child support. You know the Future's album ain't been selling good. Who you? Hey, he ain't no damn Drake. Okay, we know this. Whip. You know what I'm talking about, Whip. Bro.
Tell your uncle to stop.
Hey, man, look. Greasy Lips can't do nothing to me right now. Okay, you can't stop the truth. Amen all by myself. You can stop me when I'm lying.
Amen all by yourself.
Russell Wilson was a good, humble kid. He wasn't causing no controversy. Hey, man, he handled his business, all his contract talks, quietly. Now he up here setting deadlines, giving dates. If he had the right woman, a woman that could just hold him, a woman that could just pick him up at a hard day's work and carry him over and set him down on the couch in the day of the winter. Hey, bro, it gets cold in Seattle. He needs something to hold on to.
Why she got to pick him up, though?
Because you can't spoon with a toothpick, Craig.
Listen, we got 30 seconds left. I got to get my approval ready.
The hell wrong with you?
Job performance 21, all-time greatest 17, character 2015, authenticity. He's up 9 points to a 73 all-star.
Oh, I got job performance 23, all-time great 20, character 24, authenticity. Knock him easy 19. He's GOAT status for me. I mean, second winning this quarterback since he's arrived. Can't beat it.
She want to go to New York and look for a future.